Good morning, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to be here. I welcome all of you. And it is truly a privilege for me to be here today, as I am sure it is for all of you, because we get to share the space with two of the greatest souls of our time, two of the greatest lights of our time. And really, for us, it is Rubaru with Roshni. Rubaru means face to face. Rubaru with Roshni, the two greatest lights of our time. There is absolutely no need for me to introduce His Holiness Dalai Lama, who is such a great spiritual leader. He is someone who has always lived by love, by peace, by happiness. And through all the struggles and troubles of his life, he has remained steady and has been such an inspiration for all of us. Friends, like His Holiness, I think Dada needs no introduction. And one of the greatest thinkers of our time, someone who really brings love into our hearts and teaches us so much. I think one of the biggest things that I've got from Dada is love and a smile from him. And whenever I see him, my heart fills with joy. So I want all of you to now join me in wishing him happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dada. Happy birthday to you. To begin with, I would like to request Dada to say a few words on his birthday. Then I will have a conversation with him. And thereafter, I would request His Holiness to say a few words, and then I would have a conversation with him. So let us start with Dada. Dada, on your birthday, please give us your thoughts, share with us your thoughts for today.
Friends. Friends and fellow devotees of the Lord, it is such a joy to be in your midst this morning. My namaskars to every one of you. Let my words to you today be few and simple. And my first word is a word of greeting. With love and humility in my heart, I greet our two chief guests, His Holiness the Dalai Lama and the beloved of our hearts. I know how crazy you all were to see him. Our beloved Sri Amir Khan. They both have found time. They have very busy schedules. I wonder how they have been able to find time to come to our poor abode and give us the blessings of their brave, beautiful hearts. His Holiness the Dalai Lama is an outstanding figure. There is none like him in the whole world. He is an apostle of brotherhood and fellowship, of unity and love. He is the prophet of compassion. He is many things more. He has come to bless us. And I feel deeply grateful to him. Likewise, our dearly beloved one, Sri Amir Khan, you know him better than I do. He is a magician. he can transform this hall into a theater. He too has come to bless us today. They say it is my birthday today. May I tell you, every morning that I get up, I feel it is my birthday. And I offer a prayer to the Lord that if this be my last day, He should so bless me that I give my love to all. This has been the deepest aspiration of my heart, to give love to all. I believe that the best teaching is that we should love each other even as God loves us. It is said that there are three types of love. The first type of love is the common love with which you are familiar. If you get into that love, you say, I've fallen in love. Love is not something in which you can fall. Love takes you to the heights. Love is something which raises you. This type of love is known as eros. It is the first type of love. If you get into this love, you forget everything. You can't eat anything, you can't sleep, you can't do any work. This love makes you passionate. It sometimes gets reduced to lust. This is the lowest type of love. Then it is known as eros. There is the second type of love, which is known as philos. The first type of love, the important word is if. If you do this for me, if you give me this, I will continue to love you. Not otherwise, it is conditional love. But the second type of love is philos. The second type of love, the important word is because. Because you love me, I love you. This is also conditional love. This is not true love. Misunderstandings happen and this love is broken into bits. You see this love all around you. We have so many divorces. Otherwise, when two people marry each other, they say to each other, we shall love you till death do us part. But something happens and this love breaks. There is the third type of love. It is true love. It is unconditional love. It is universal love. It is divine love. It is known as agape. The important word of this love is in spite. The first was if, the second was because, the third is in spite. In spite of whatever you may do, I will continue to love you. It is this true type of love, it is this authentic love that the world needs today. And this is the only true type of love. I will not speak more, because we all have come to listen to His Holiness. The Buddhists have four types of love. The first, I think, is mudita, the second is karuna, and so on. But this is the one type of love that is true love. It is known as agape love. I wished I have packets of agape love. I would distribute them amongst you today and elevate you to those holy heights which every soul wishes to reach. Thank you.
Dada, I think everyone is very keen to listen to you, and on their behalf, I'm going to ask you some questions so we can have a conversation, and hopefully you will be able to help us in our heads when we wonder about so many things. Tell me, in these 95 years of yours, what has been your biggest learning? What has been your biggest learning that you can share with us today?
I'm a little short of hearing.
Oh.
I will tell Krishna Kumari to tell me.
Just come close to that.
I'll come close. Wait. Too hot.
The heat of love comes from you.
I need a face.
Is Dada's mic on?
Yeah.
Dada, what is the biggest learning that you have had in these 95 years? What can you share with us which has been your biggest learning?
There is only one thing that I have, and that is love. And that, I think, is the highest thing that a person can have. My master was very kind to me. He was merciful. He said, ask what you will. I will give you. And I said, Master, I want only love, universal love. The love that moves out to the sinner and the saint alike, the good and the evil alike. When I look at you, I look at so many images of my master, faces of my master.
Dada, you said something very important in your answer. So many people come to meet you. I am one of them. And all of us come with different intentions in our heart. We come with different feelings in our heart. Some of us may come with a clean heart. Some of us may not come with such a clean heart. How do you distinguish between us, or do you not distinguish?
I don't distinguish. To me, you all are images of my master. Therefore, you must have seen I bow down to you before you even attempt to do so. Because I see in you images of my master.
Dada, tell me, you have had such a brilliant academic career. What is it that has kept you away from materialism and moved you towards spiritualism?
Materialism, I had my own dreams while I was in the college, because I had passed a matriculation examination at the age of 13. I had four double promotions, and so I had my own dreams. It was normal for a student to matriculate at the age of 17. I did it at 13. In those days, we used to have the ICS competitive examination, and they all told me that you must prepare for it because you will graduate at the age of 17. You will have 4 years to go to prepare. Otherwise, it's only when a person graduates that he immediately has to go for this examination. So I had my own dreams that I would pass the ICS examination, come and become a collector and do all these things. Then when I was in the intermediate class of the college, I came in contact with my master, beloved Sadhu Vaswani. There was a change in my life, a complete change. It was a U-turn. And then all these dreams, they faded away. And all that I wanted was to be close to the lotus feet of my master, to serve him and to win his favor.
Dada, you have spoken about the three kinds of love. Right now, I can clearly see that you are in the third kind of love.
I wish I could, yes.
But my question is, were you ever in the first kind of love?
I was.
We are all very curious, we want to know that.
I was, before I was in the intermediate class, I said I had my own dreams, and one of those dreams was this, the first type of love. But that's an old story. It's an old birth. It is an old birth. Yes, yes.
Which
yes.
I want to know all about, but not in front of them. Separately, you should tell me.
I don't mind. I don't mind telling them. Because that was not I. That was somebody else.
That's a good one. I'm going to learn that, yeah? I'm going to learn that. That wasn't me. That was somebody else. Dada, you can see I'm using a gadget.
I beg your pardon?
You can see that I'm using a gadget now. You know, this is called an iPad.
I see.
And today our lives are surrounded with gadgets. For everything, we have a gadget. What is your opinion on these gadgets and how do you...
I live a very simple life. I don't know how to work on the computer. I don't know what is the difference between iPad and U-pad. I do take advantage of it from time to time, because if I have a letter to send which should reach quickly, I do dictate to some of my friends, and they somehow or the other arrange to send it through the iPad or iPad, what do you call it? Yes, yes.
Right.
But I don't know how to operate this. Right. Now,
tell me.
A friend came and presented me with the what he said it was the fourth type of iPad. There are types of iPads, perhaps. The fourth type was given me. Then I don't know, somebody took it away. And I didn't miss it at all. Because I didn't know how to work on the iPad. Yes.
Dada, tell me, as a child, were you a very good child? Very, very...
I was naughty at times.
That I can see in your eyes. Even now I can see that.
I remember one incident for which I feel ashamed now. But my beloved mother, whenever an elder came, she would ask me to bow to him, touch his feet. I said, what is this? Every time that an elder comes, whether he's educated or illiterate, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's healthy or sick, whether he is in his senses or out of his senses, I have to bow down to him. But she would say, no, he's an elder, you must bow down to him. So one day an elder came. He was a distant relation. He did not know how to speak properly. There was a stammer in his words. So I bowed down to him, and with shame, I have to admit, I pinched his feet. I pinched his feet, and he began to say, So my mother said, you are bowing down to him, and this man is doing In future, I free you from bending down and touching the feet. So I was a little naughty, yes. But I had great reverence for my teachers and the wise ones, those that really knew the true knowledge that is wisdom. I had great reverence for them. Whenever a holy man visited a town, I would go and sit at his feet and try to learn of him lessons which I needed to learn.
Dada, tell me, how do you relax?
There was one, I remember, a holy man, he had come to our town, and I went and saw him, and then I took leave of him. I asked him, I said, give me an advice. I still remember. He said to me, my advice to you is to be a lion and not a dog. So I said to him, I don't understand what it is to be a lion. It is true, I am a lion already. I am born in the Leo sign. You know, if you're born in August, you are born in the Leo sign. But I told him, what do you mean by telling me always be a lion and never be a dog? He said, the difference between a dog and a lion is this. If you throw a ball at a dog, the dog will not look at you, but the dog will run after the ball. And if you fire a shot at the lion will not think of the shot. He will come and hold you by the arm. Therefore, go to the source. Don't run after the incidents, the things that happen to you. Wow. I've always remembered that lesson. And I tell you, it has blessed me abundantly. Mm. I share that lesson with you and would wish you to follow this particular teaching. Don't think of what has happened, but think of the one, remember the one from whom everything issues.
Source. Mm.
Be lions. Mm. Today when you go, they will ask you, what did beloved Amir Khan teach you? Tell them he taught us this lesson. Be lions, don't be dogs.
See, Dada is teaching on to lie now. Tell me, Dada, how do you relax? How do you entertain yourself today?
My entire life is a relaxation, as you can see. I do not know what it is to be tense. You teach me how to become stressful at times. Will any one of you teach me? Sometimes stress is good, but I try to be stressful, but I can't do it.
But even if you're not stressed, sometimes we need entertainment just to experience something different.
My teacher of yoga taught to me what was called Shavasana. I have not practiced it. Shavasana is the dead man's pose. Mm-hmm. You just lie down on the floor and think that you are dead. But I have had no occasion to make use of it.
Dada, tell me, what is the happiest moment of your life? What do you remember?
Now, sitting by your side. Sitting in the midst of two great ones, sitting on the right side with His Holiness and sitting on the left side with His magicians.
And sitting in front of all these beautiful people. Tell me, Dada, what is your favorite book? Because I love reading.
So what is?
What is your favorite book? I love reading, and is there any book that you would recommend to me to read?
If there is one book, I have hundreds of books, perhaps over 1,000 books. But if there is one book to be chosen out of them, then my vote goes to the Bhagavad Gita. The Gita contains the wisdom of all the scriptures. I have read a little of the Quran also, the holy book. I have read other holy books, as you will know, because today they were supposed to inaugurate the latest book. It gives you selections from all the scriptures of the world. Most of the scriptures of the world. It's a good book. Now I think I will be referring to that book instead of to the Gita. This book will be my favorite book.
Dada, tell me, what is, a lot of us, when I think of forgiveness, when I think of forgiveness as a concept, it is something that my mind tells me is a very good thing, is a very healing thing. It is probably one of the most powerful emotions. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful emotions. And last time we spoke of it also. But I sometimes feel that while my mind tells me that I should be forgiving, sometimes in practice I find it difficult to forgive someone who has hurt me very badly. How am I able to overcome my emotions? How can I bring in forgiveness more easily to myself?
This used to be my condition too, once upon a time. Then I explained to myself, I said, what is happening to me today is something which I had done in the near or remote past. It is only coming back to me. So that accounts are settled. What is happening to me is something that I had done. Now, the action was there. The action is to be balanced by a reaction, and it will be balanced only when the same thing happens to me and I take it in the right spirit. So now, forgiveness, I don't think of forgiving at all. It has become something which is very natural. Mm-hmm. I know it is balancing. Mm. It is, accounts are being settled. Mm. And I feel very happy. Supposing I lose something. Somebody has taken it away. All right. I try to search for it. I don't get it. Then I say to myself, perhaps I had taken somebody's that something in the near or remote past. Now that somebody has come and taken away my accounts are settled, I feel very happy. I actually begin to dance. So forgiveness, you don't have to do it. Forgiveness is a part of your life. Yes. Every step that I take, I should take closer to forgiveness. And I tell my friends, I tell them before you retire at night, actually think of all the people who have not behaved properly towards you, all the people who have cheated you, all the people who have deceived you, all the people who have spoken against you, all the people who have spread scandals against you, call them out by name. Mr. So-and-so, I forgive you. Miss So-and-so, I forgive you. Mrs. So-and-so, I forgive you. Do it out of the very depths of your heart, and you will have a wonderful sleep at night and many dreams. Many dreams in which perhaps I visit them. Yes.
Dada, in the coming months, in the next 6 to 8 months, India is one of the biggest democracies.
India
is one of the biggest democracies.
Yeah.
And in the next 6 to 8 months, we are about to face one of our national elections, which comes every 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the advice that you can give every citizen of the country? What is their primary responsibility as citizens of a community, perhaps the biggest community, which is the biggest democracy in the world? What is your advice to them?
Brother Amir Khan, to tell you the truth, I have no hope in politics. I have no hope whatsoever in politics. And may I tell you, in France, they call politicians S-C-O-U-N-D-R-E-L-S. You understand what it means? You understand? I have no hope in politics. Governments come, governments go. Conditions are the same. Whatever government you have, conditions will be the same. As I was having a talk with His Holiness before we came here, His Holiness told me, he said that there are two centers of character building. One is the school and the college education, and the other is the home. If you want to change conditions, then you must tackle these two centers, the home or the educational institution. Now, what you have done is you have thrown God out of your homes. You have thrown God out of your schools and colleges. This is not secularism. Secularism means favoring a particular religion over other religions. Secularism doesn't mean that you should throw God out of your schools and out of your homes. You say that I am 95 years old. I don't agree. I think I am only 29 years old. But if I am 95 years old, I remember in our days, in those olden days, God was a force in the life of everyone. Every one of us believed that God is watching us. God is seeing everything that I am doing. He knows my thoughts, he hears my words, he sees my actions, the emotions, the feelings that wake up within my heart. Therefore, I was very careful. God is watching. God is watching. God is watching. Now, you don't believe in God at all. Nobody is watching you. You can do whatever you like. That is why terrorism has come. That is why so many other things have crept into society. Bring God back into your homes. Bring God back into your hearts if you want to change this world. Now, India was once regarded as a place of pilgrimage for many nations. People used to come from the east, they used to come from the west, they used to come as to a place of pilgrimage. But today, some days ago, I happened to look at a newspaper, and in big, bold type, the words were written, India leads the nations. I felt so happy. I said, perhaps a new Satya Yuga has come. Now India is leading the nations. India leads the nations. Underneath a smaller type were written, in corruption. Now, that is our condition now. Because we have thrown God out of our schools and colleges and homes. Bring God back. I will vote for the man who says, I am going to bring God back into the life of the nation. But there's nobody who talks of all these parties, they keep on fighting with themselves. I tell you, the hope of India is not in this party politics. The hope of India is when all the parties unite and they work together for the amelioration of the nation. They work together to serve the teeming masses of India. I was in America, and at a press conference they asked me, they said, what do you think is the great need of the average American? They said, you come to America once a year. You must have studied the situation here. What advice would you give to an average American? I said, who am I to give advice? But I think the average American needs to be advised, slow down your pace. Slow down your pace. Then they asked me, what is the greatest need of your own country? The greatest need of India? And I told them with my head looking downwards, I said, the greatest need of India is of men and women of character. Men and women whom the lust of office will not betray. Men and women whom the gains of office will not lead astray. Men and women who will not scramble for power or position, but who will use all their power in a spirit of humility in the service of India's teeming millions. This is our greatest need today. Just think of a parliament. Just think of a Lok Sabha. Lok Sabha is a place where laws are made. Where it is a place for legislators. And they tell me that 1/3 of the Lok Sabha consists of criminals. Now what hope is there for a nation whose legislators are criminals? How can you vote for them? But I have spoken too much. Huh?
No, no. I think, Dada, you have given us a very important message to the people of India who will be facing these elections in some time, that they should choose leaders who have love in their hearts,
yes,
who
yes.
want the good of the people in their hearts, and who want...
And who love God. God must be brought back. You have thrown God out of your life.
Tell me, Dada, today we see in most of our politicians, they want to divide us on either caste or religion or language, etc., etc. They only want to divide us. They constantly want to divide us. And through this division, they are hoping that they will come in power, etc., etc.
I tell you, division has come only on account of politics. I'll tell you.
Tell me, Dada.
I have stayed in Sindh. I come from Sindh. Now, in Sindh, there were different communities. They were Hindus. They were Muslims. We lived as brothers and sisters. We had one house in which Hindus lived. In the opposite house, there was a Muslim. And the leader of the Hindu, the father of the Hindu family, when he went out somewhere on some business or some other work, he would ask his
neighbor,
Muslim neighbor, to take care of his family. But in 1935, Sindh was separated from Bombay. That brought
a change,
complete change.
Dada, what can you tell the leaders? Because the leaders also respect you. The leaders also respect you. And what can you say that can bring love in their hearts so that they can take the responsibility that they have wanted to take and lead our country? What are the positive thoughts that they can keep in their hearts in this moment?
I think we should make friends with each other. I believe that the perfect peace plan is a friendship plan. I make friends with you. You may belong to a different community. You belong to a different community because you have been born in that particular a family which belongs to that community. Why? Because the law of karma feels that you will be able to evolve if you are in that atmosphere. So it is not important to which community you belong. What is important is whether you are a believer in God or not. Most of us today have become non-believers. That is the difficulty. Until and unless you bring God back into your life, there will be no change. You will keep on wandering from one distraction to another.
But you know, the problem, Dada, is that a lot of people use the name of God in different religions, whether it's Hindus, Muslims, Christians, etc. They often use that very thing to divide us. How can we, what can you tell them?
Because they are
to unite us. We want them to unite us.
Because they are politicians. There was a friend of mine, I will not give you his name, but he said, if you want peace in the world, you must take two ships, big steamers. On one steamer you put all the politicians, and in the other steamer you put all the so-called religious people. Religious people, and send them away to some distant island, let them go and work out there. There will be peace in the world.
Dada, tell me.
Apologies to politicians and to religious leaders.
Dada, tell me, you were born somewhere, then you moved away from your homeland. What are your memories of your homeland? What do you remember of your homeland? What do you miss of your homeland?
I don't miss, because when we came to India, I thought I was coming to a part of my home, because India I regarded as my home. Sindh was a part of India. So I thought I was moving from one corner of my home to another corner. I did not have that feeling at all that I was going to a different country or a different place. The culture and all that was the same. So it did not make any difference.
Dada, somebody wanted to clap over there. Dada, tell me, what is your prayer today for all of us? What is your prayer today?
My prayer today was, Lord, so bless me that I may help as many people as I can, in as many ways as I can, on as many occasions as I can. But if I cannot help someone, I must not harm anyone. That was simple prayer.
Thank you, Dada. Thank you so much. It was so wonderful to listen to you on all your thoughts. And each time that we listen to you, we get to learn so much from you. Thank you so much, Dada.
They were not my thoughts. They were his thoughts. They were coming from the back. And I was only voicing them. So credit goes to him, not to me.
I would now request His Holiness Dalai Lama to say a few words. And after that, I would like the honor to ask him some questions with which he can share his thoughts with us.
Yes. Okay. Firstly, of course, I feel great honor to participate your 95th happy birthday celebration. Since many occasions, I think many years, we know each other. Of course, this time your feet a little bit so difficult. Otherwise, it's the same. Particularly your eye, always very fresh, something. So, I'm very happy. Then perhaps I think this time I think about 3 weeks. Firstly, Karnataka State, than here. So the when I reach Bangalore, the first day, my program, a visit, I can't remember, you see, these the different names. You see, the one spiritual sort of organization. Of course, that hat also I know since some time back. So I visited, I mean, they invited me. So I very much impressed that spiritual organization really, you see, taking care about thousands of children, school children. So they provide meal freely. And also I'm very much impressed. You see, they develop some kind of modern technology, you see, to cook a large portion of sort of meal, food, rice and some other vegetables. So I told there, the spiritual organization not only pray to God or some puja, but very actively serving humanity, and particularly these children. It's really wonderful. Now my last program here, another spiritual organization, totally dedicated about education and serving others. Now India, actually, I think over 3,000 years, many different spiritual traditions develop. These are homegrown different religious traditions. Then eventually, Zoroastrianism from Persia came. Also Judaism in Kuchin area. Some sort of Jews. I think, of course, many part of India is a Jew community there. But I remember one time in Kuchin area, so some Jews. And then the Parsi mainly concentrated in Bombay. Yeah. And of course, Christianity come and very well settled. And Islam came very well settled. And then later, another homegrown religion, that is Sikhism, very much in the spirit of non-sectarian. I understand Guru Nanak actually took pilgrimage to Mecca. So, now today, I think last several centuries, India truly become the home of all major world religious traditions lived together. I always is telling people when I have opportunity to talk, I always pointed India is the example. Different religious tradition can live harmoniously. Not only some economy or political reasons, 1,000 years, that kind of practice is there. So since over a billion populated nation, different religious tradition can live together harmoniously. So therefore, the rest of the world where sometimes additional conflict in the name of religion is unnecessary for individual religious sort of tradition, for survival, for that. The other religion, no threat. you remain with spirit of oneness of spirituality. India, really, I think, one, I always telling India as an example of the concept of ahimsa, 1,000 years. With that, the tradition, harmony among different traditions. Of course, as you mentioned, occasionally some politicians and also some, I think they were invited some religious people, also sometimes you see, create some problem pockets here and there. But overall, India is really wonderful. So now, meantime, I usually sort of expressing, as a result of last 54 years, I remain in this country. So I myself consider as a son of India. There's a reason, sufficient reason. Firstly, you see, my brain, every cell of my brain filled by Nalanda thought since my childhood, 6, 7 years old, I start my study. All the books which I study, firstly, memorize all these texts wrote by Nalanda master. So whole, till I study. So whole my life, you see, study Nalanda thought. So my brain, every part of my brain filled by Nalanda thought. Then my physical, last 54 years, this physical survived by Indian dals, Indian rice, Indian chapati. Most cases, northern Indian food, not South Indian food. So anyway, so physically, mentally, I really belong to this country. So I consider myself as a son of India. Then meantime, wherever I give talk, as I mentioned earlier, I always talk about ahimsa. Ahimsa is the act of compassion. Where love, compassion, there, non-violence automatically come. And then religious harmony, these two things, wherever I talk, I always mention these things. So I consider as a messenger of India. Now, recent decades, I publicly expressing, I, as a messenger of India, quite active. So now, like you, my boss. So messenger level, quite active. So boss must be active. Sometimes, you see, frankly speaking, you see, religious leaders, you see, they're a little bit isolated from the rest of the society, particularly younger generation, as you mentioned. Younger generation pay more attention about money, about sort of, what's it, the attractive, just materialistic life. Less sort of pay attention, less interest about deeper value. So the religious leaders now should take more active role to educate people. And then also, there's some drawbacks in this country, like caste system. Although constitution provided equal, but still, you see, some sort of bad habit, sometimes you see poor people really suffer. So the religious leader, I think, should be active on this field. So I usually have some sort of critical view. So here you and the other day, and then also, you see, of course, many other sort of spiritual leaders or spiritual organizations, they really actively involve the social well-being, particularly sort of what's the education field. So I'm very, very happy, very, very impressed. Thank you. So, any versities, the spiritual organization, sometimes you see heavily depend on one single guru, a single person. I think they, of course, initiative must come from one single person. But then these sort of activities or responsibility must carry by the sort of that group of people, right? Or the people themselves. So that, I think, so those, the Guruji's follower, you already sort of carrying his sort of wish, his spirit. That's very, very important. So, that's all. Some question now.
Thank you. Will you come and sit here? No, no, I'll sit here only. I'll sit here. Your Holiness, tell me, what is happiness for you and how does one achieve it?
What?
Happiness.
What does happiness mean to you and how can we achieve it?
Happiness, I think in the real sense is deep satisfaction. Not necessarily sort of experience, pleasure experience or joyful experiences, but rather deep satisfaction. So then, I always was telling people, including animals or insects, do not want suffering and want to overcome pains or suffering. And every sentient being have every right to overcome suffering, problem. Every sentient being have every right to achieve happy life. Then we human being, now today population, 7 billion population. All 7 billion human beings, same human being, physically, mentally, emotionally. And also, you see, 7 billion human beings have, everyone have equal right to achieve happy life. Sometimes I feel, I explain, the very purpose of our life is for happiness. Reason, our life depends on hope. Once one individual really lost hope, then that very mental attitude shortened their life. So hope means something good. So our life depends on hope. Hope means something good. So therefore, we have very purpose of our life, I feel, happiness, satisfaction. Now there are two levels, sensorial level and deeper mental level. Sensorial level, same with other animals, dogs, cats, birds, same. But mental level, because of this marvelous human intelligence, now there is differences. The intelligence is actually source of both satisfaction, joyfulness, or calmness of mind, peaceful mind, or disturbed mind, destructive emotion, or unhappiness. So intelligence, just intelligence, sometimes you see create more, sort of, for example, more sort of ambition, where more ambition, more sort of say, unrealistic sort of desire. Because of that, a lot of worry, a lot of stress, sometimes even suicide. Less intelligence, without immediate threat, they remain happy. So therefore, because of this great brain, marvelous brain, our intelligence, so sometimes we human being, physically very comfortable. All the facility there, but mentally very unhappy. Some of my friend, I think a billionaire, very rich, but mentally very unhappy. In deep inside, lonely, helpless, too much stress. So that now scientists also now begin to realize mental attitude is the key factor for happy life, healthy body. So therefore, now we must pay now modern sort of way of life. I think too much oriented about material value. And I just mentioned before we coming here, the very existence of modern education, very much oriented about material value. So that's why there are people, very educated people, but unhappy, sometimes troublemaker. Most of the troublemaker, I think as far as their education is concerned, I think very educated people. I think sometimes less education may be more honest. Very smart here. Calculate. What I get benefit from here, from there. That very intelligent sort of mind sometimes create more suspicion, more distrust. And then that brings frustration. That brings anger. Like that. So therefore, now every human being, say on this, or this Kasa, 7 billion human being, I think now time come, think more seriously. The ultimate source of happiness, meaningful life, is not just education, but here warm-heartedness. We already cultivated by our mother, as you mentioned. Already sorrow, Kasura. I mean, we experienced from our mother. My own mother, villager, no education, illiteracy, just a farmer, but very, very kind mother. So I think,
no time to stop.
So, see, my mother is a very, very kind lady. Not only much love towards her own children, but also other people, particularly sometimes some beggars coming from neighbor, so from neighbors. Sometimes she cry. Very kind hearted. So, amount of compassion, love I have, firstly I received from my mother. I think, I always telling people when I give talk, I think here, for example, every people, outwardly very smart, but in deep inside, I think those individuals who received maximum affection from one's own mother at a young age, I think in deep inside, more self-confidence. As a result, less fear and more happier. Yeah. Those individuals outwardly very successful, but in deep inside, those people who at the young age less sorrow, as the care from less affection from parent, particularly from mother. Sometimes, you see, without a mother. And then, worst case, sometimes abuse. Then, such people, deep inside, always fear, sense of insecurity. So therefore, the affection from our mother or love provided our mother is the key factor. This one thing that the Guruji already mentioned that. Then I just mentioned before we coming here, the important when we gradually grown up, then too much influence from environment. Environment, now for example, the Pune sort of city, a lot of advertising, only jewel or some sort of cosmetics or some dress like that. No advertising about warm-heartedness. I think it may be difficult to dispose warm-heartedness. I don't know. If just a big heart, that also may not know. So in any way, the society, whole society, our life becoming very, very materialistic life. Material value is necessary for this physical comfort, physical survival. When we look, poverty, even within India, oh, those people who really struggle their day-to-day life, they are sort of because of the simple meal. And then frustration always there. And easily develop violence. So we must overcome poverty. Meantime, material value alone will not bring us genuine happy life or meaningful life or meaningful society. Logically, matter cannot sort of give us mental peace. Material only provide us physical comfort. So as I mentioned earlier, physical level experience and mental level experiences. So now modern education, we must find out where. We must try to introduce in more existing modern education about moral ethics. That means the value of compassion, not just few sentences, but the systematic way to educate about mind, about emotion. Then the different sort of, or say the act of these different emotions. Then one emotion never come independently due to many other emotions, many other factors. So we must have fuller knowledge about map of mind, map of emotion. Then we can educate people. Now, such as anger immediately destroy our peace of mind and destroy peaceful family, peaceful community. Then, just mere knowledge about how bad anger will not go away. So we must know what are the causes, immediate causes of emotion, the anger emotion. There are other emotions. So, like, take care about the physical health. We must know the whole body system. Then we can deal our physical health. So similarly, mental health also, you see, we have to need the fuller knowledge about emotion, about mind. So this not necessarily as a religious matter. This is an academic subject. So India, you already mentioned secular ethics. In the West, some Muslim, some Christian, they have little reservation about the word of secular. So they consider secular is a little bit sort of disrespect religion. According to Indian understanding, never, as you mentioned. Secular means respect. All religions, no preference, this religion, that religion. And also secular, respect non-believer. Now today, out of 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion human beings, formally they express they are non-believer. So quite a big portion of 7 billion, out of 7 billion human beings. So these also human beings, quite important part in the society. And also these non-believer, as a human being, they also have right to achieve happy life. So we must find out education, moral ethics to those non-believers. If we try to teach moral ethics based on religious faith, how can that these people? And also secular education field, sometimes difficult. For example, India, multi-religious nation, secular ethic based on what one religion, then what religion? Difficult. So there's no other choice except secular education about moral ethics, secular moral ethics through secular way. So since you very much involved about education, the many members really, you see, they committed for education. So I want to share, you see, these points with you. If you ask me what kind of sort of kasoda, program, then my answer, I don't know.
Thank you.
I have no sort of modern education. Therefore, I don't know. I only have critics, not answer. So those educated people or people who involve in education, think more sort of discussion, how to introduce in modern education field about moral ethics entirely based on secular principle. So that I want to tell you. So happiness, more sort of satisfaction, deeper satisfaction. Now again, now here, relax. Actually, they relax very much related with mental thinking. Relax, animals, type of relax, not good, not much meaning. Relax, real relax means surrounded by problem. Meantime, your intelligent level, yes, realize this is a problem. I have to solve. I have to face this problem. But the deeper level, emotional level, still calm. So that is the genuine relaxation. No matter what sort of external sort of environment, but you use your intelligence and warm-heartedness, strength of warm-heartedness and holistic view from intelligence. Combine these two things, you have the ability to keep in a complete relax. So that gives you satisfaction. that gives you healthy mind, healthy body, and your life become much happier. And wherever you live, surroundings are also, including animals. If Dadaji have some pet, cats or dogs, when Dadaji is sort of that kind of compassionate person, so all these animals also, you see, receive immense sort of benefit. If someone feeding the pets, but without much sort of affection, then even those dogs or cats also, you see, sometimes when, you see, they, because of the father or the owner, or sometimes mother also, I think when coming that room, there because of steps, sound come. I think some dogs may run away. Some cat more run away. My own experience now, when I was very young, I think 10 years old, one small, what does that mean? Parrot. One of my sort of friend, of course later he also taught me writing. So he visit to me, every time he carries some nuts. Then that parrot, he gives some nuts. Then eventually, you see, that small parrot, you see, become very friendly with that person. When the person coming from a distance, the sound of the kasoda walk, so parrot already some special sort of expression. And then when after some nut, and then his finger through sort of cage, his finger put inside, then parrot go like that. The parrot. And sometimes the parrot, when his finger remain in front of his tummy, that parrot is big way. Sometimes you see some kasota. No. I think some food, I think, come out. See, as a sort of, or say, the expression or trying to show gratitude. So I develop a little bit of jealousy. So I also want that kind of attitude from that small parrot. So I, not out of real compassion, out of real sort of affection, but out of jealousy, I give some nut. The parrot clearly realize my motivation is not that sincere. So that parrot, she took nut, never show friendliness towards me. Then after some time, I lost my patience, so I use little stick, some punishment. And since then, never reconcile. So only thing, forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's the only way. Now, perhaps I may add something, compassion. There are two levels. One, compassion, mainly, as I briefly mentioned, biological factor. That compassion is actually biased because it much is oriented about others' attitude. So someone nice towards you, we can develop compassion or sense of concern. As soon as their attitude change, then no longer that kind of sense of affection. So that's biased. And also much mixed with attachment. Every emotion, too much attachment, it always becomes biased. Now, that, as a biological factors sort of affection, take as a seed. Then through education, through awareness, use human intelligence, that compassion then further sort of develop. Yeah. Through training, through awareness, not just biological factor, through training, through awareness, then that sort of compassion, affection, then not oriented about others' attitude towards you, but the people, the people or anyone is themselves as a sort of sentient being, they also want happy life, do not want suffering, and meantime passing through some difficulties, so develop sense of concern of their well-being, irrespective whether their attitude towards you or negative or positive. So that trained compassion, then unbiased, can extend towards your enemy. Now here, important is we must make distinction. Action or attitude and the person. As far as a person is concerned, we must keep genuine sense of concern or sense of love. As far as their attitude is concerned, we have to look. If their attitude unjust or some wrongdoing or take some advantage on you unjustly, look, study the situation. If that sort of the wrong action is not much serious, then okay, forget. If that wrong action is something very serious, then out of sense of concern of their well-being, you have to take appropriate countermeasure to stop that action. So here, now make distinction, actor and action. We have to oppose. Action is concerned. Actor is concerned as a human brother, sister. We must keep compassion. So the real sense of forgiveness, not let anger, hatred towards that actor. So that is real meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean whatever they did, so they carry some wrongdoing, you just accept, not that way. Clear? So our intelligence quite sophisticated. So we must make distinction, difference of reality, different circumstances.
I think His Holiness has touched upon a number of things which is very, very important. I think what we can learn from this is, one, how important happiness is to all of us, love and affection is to all of us, and happiness comes from love and affection, and how it is very important for us to inculcate good morals and values in our education system starting from childhood. These are some very important things that His Holiness has said. In fact, you know, about happiness, a very simple villager once told me that happiness is the only thing that you get when you give it. Now, this was a very big thought for me. How can I be happy? How can you be happy? This simple villager told me, you can be happy if you give happiness. It is the only thing that you get when you give. And I thought it was a very amazing thing that he had told me. I got to learn so much from him. That simple villager happens to be Anna Hazare, by the way. You know, Your Highness, you spoke about love and compassion. And I have a story to share. You know, I completely agree with what you said about love and compassion. And I don't know whether I've told you all the story, but let me say it again. When I was very small, I used to play tennis. And I used to play tournaments in tennis. And I was a very good tennis player. And I used to win all the matches. And my mother, who was very loving to me, when I used to come home after the match, she would always ask me, Did you win? Did you lose? Mostly I would win, so I would say I won. So she would be very happy and she would hug me. Then after 5 minutes, she would tell me, the boy who lost, he also must have reached home now. And his mother must have asked him, did you win or did you lose? And he would have told his mother, I lost. So right now, his mother must be feeling sad. Now, this was a very big lesson for me. My mother, without realizing it, was actually teaching me one of the biggest lessons of compassion is to be able to think for the other person. The child who I played with, who I might have defeated in a game of match, she reminded me that he must have reached home. His mother must be feeling sad now. From that day onwards, I still tried my level best in a match. But when I played the game with the opponent, he was a human being like me. He was not someone other than me. And that was one big lesson that I learned of compassion from my mother. Your Holiness, I have a question for you. You know, sometimes what happens is we give a lot of love to someone who we love. We give a lot of compassion. We give a lot of caring to the person whom we love. But that person doesn't return it. That person doesn't reciprocate it. In such a situation, what can I do? What does one do? So we may give love to somebody. We may give a lot of caring to somebody. But that person may not return that to us. What can we do?
There's distinction, as I mentioned earlier. One level of love, much sort of oriented about the other's attitude. That is not not genuine sarvasde, the kasota.
Unbiased love.
No, not genuine, I think, standard of love or compassion. So genuine sort of standard, the standard sort of love, compassion, is not oriented about others' attitude. So no matter what their attitude, still they are a human being.
Yeah.
Still they are a sentient being. So, as far as a human being is concerned, still human
we
brothers.
We should love them and give them compassion.
We must have sense of concern of their well-being. Now, for example, I think here, a little sort of example. This is not a political statement. You see, when you see some sort of Chinese communist officials on the spot, much sort of torture or bully Tibetan. Then, you see, we deliberately try to not develop anger, try to keep compassion towards these people, as a people, as a human being. That does not mean we also accept their wrongdoing. We criticize, we respond to these sort of negative, unjust sort of activities or actions. We're opposing that, but without anger. Actually, there is sufficient reason. You see, from the Buddhist viewpoint, of course, we believe, as you also mentioned, you see, the karma. These people, you see, harming other people. So they committed wrong karma, negative karma. So they have to face the negative consequences. So there is sufficient reason to feel concern of their well-being. So out of that motivation, you should try to make clear that's wrong. Criticize them. Not out of anger, not out of kasachukti, hatred, like that. That we can do.
That's true. That's very true.
May I say a word?
Yes, yes, yes.
If the other person does not respond, you double your love.
Kasa.
Double the love.
And if he still does not respond,
double it.
Gamble.
Love is limitless. You can give,
gamble on
no
your love. You'll always win.
You will win, finally.
Right. Wonderful.
Keep on doubling. Keep on doubling.
I think here maybe see the comment from one monk may not be appropriate, but here see marriage love or marriage on the with love. So just attraction about external beauty not sufficient. Love towards internal beauty. Once you realize internal beauty, that is, you see, humility or some kind of sort of a real compassionate or sensible person, then that sort of awareness also brings respect. So, marriage with, on the basis of inner beauty, automatically with respect, then after marry, a little quarrel doesn't matter. Still, the marriage can live long-lasting marriage. Hurriedly marry without knowing real sort of inner world, less inner beauty, only from physical, external sort of beauty. Marry, even after a few weeks, or quarrel will start. So here, the inner beauty, I often use it telling people, when I give talk, or the ladies, particularly young ladies, you see, you spend a lot of money about your external beauty. Good. But you must pay more attention about your inner beauty. That's more important. I also, in 60s, one Tibetan government official, monk official, eventually he disrobed. And I know him very well. So his wife, not that much sort of attractive. So I tease him, oh, your wife, not that much attractive. And then he responded to me, yes, external beauty is concerned, not much attractive. But internal beauty is very good. He told me like that. So that's wonderful. Then I have nothing to say.
That's right. Thank you, Your Holiness. Thank you. Thank you, Dada. It is so wonderful talking to both of you and to listen to your thoughts. It's been such a learning experience for me, as I'm sure it has been for all of you. And I really feel privileged that I have had this opportunity to have this conversation. To be rubaru with His Holiness and yourself, Dada. And I feel blessed and lucky and happy. Thank you so much.
You ask His Holiness to give us a small teaching which we can treasure in our hearts.
Sure. Why don't you tell him yourself?
Give us a small teaching which we can treasure in our hearts.
Dada is saying, give us a small teaching which we can treasure in our heart.
Just a few words.
I don't know. Usually expressing my religion is love, compassion. That is common. All major religious tradition, those religions which believe creator, those religions no concept of creator,
But doesn't matter. All major tradition, they carry message of love. In order to strengthen love, practice of love, you need some kind of sort of defense. So, practice of tolerance, practice of forgiveness, practice of contentment, practice of self-discipline, these also come. So these, like fences, fence of practice of love. So you see, all religions, all major religious tradition talks these principles: love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, self-discipline, contentment. Too much greed, sometimes harming other, cheating other. So less greed, that means contentment. So I think essence, and then also you see these different philosophies, the philosophy itself, big contradiction. Even within Buddhist tradition, different school of thought there. Big contradictory sort of philosophy. All these contradictory philosophy within Buddhism taught by Buddha. So I sometimes jokingly telling people, contradictory philosophy taught by one single person, Lord Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, not out of his own confusion. One day he taught this philosophy, next day different philosophy. He himself not very sure. No. No, he deliberately tried to create more confusion among his disciples. No. Then, why he taught contradictory philosophy? Among his disciples, there are people who have different mental disposition. So therefore, it is necessary to teach, to show different way of method, different way of philosophy. So then we can easily understand to some people the certain sort of philosophical views are much more effective. To some people, another sort of way of approach is much more effective. So all these different philosophies, when we find different philosophical views, then it is important to ask, what is the purpose of that philosophical, different philosophical views? Purpose is the same, to promote love, compassion. So therefore, love, compassion is the universal religion. And then also, as I already mentioned, secular ethics also is very much, you see, very much about, you see, affection, sense of concern of others' well-being. Now here, perhaps I may add, I think we really need promotion of sort of clear sort of awareness, oneness of humanity. Today's reality, environment problem, and the population now already 7 billion, the within end of this century, population will be 10 billion. So, and then nature disaster also will increase. Nature's resources also, you see now some, for example, drinking water, these also, you see, some problem. So we have to now, I think time come, we have to act as a one humanity. Is it too much emphasis, my nation, that nation, my continent, their continent? I think that outdated. I always, you see, telling people, when I give talk, firstly, I consider myself as another human being. Now, for example, here, when I give talk, when I sort of actually discuss with you, if I emphasize, I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, or perhaps if I too much emphasis, I'm His Holiness Dalai Lama, then that mental attitude itself creates some barrier. What use? When I meet you, I consider myself as a one of you, same human being, as I mentioned earlier, emotionally. So, mentally, if you ask scientist, brain specialist, any differences with different religion, with different sort of races, different color, or educated or uneducated, or wealthier, poor, no differences here. We are same. So, wherever I talk, I always consider myself as another human being. That gives me inner relaxation. If I too much emphasis, I am Buddhist, I am Dalai Lama, then more stress. I must be very, very careful. So that's that kind of attitude is, you see, source of tension, source of sort of what's the fear. No use. So I always see, because consider, firstly, I am one of the 7 billion human beings. Then, second level, I am one of the believer. I am Buddhist. Then third, I am Tibetan. These are, then the most important is first level, we are same human being. So we must educate oneness of 7 billion human beings. That's very, very important.
Dada, can I request you to say a few last words before we say goodbye to everyone? Yes, Mr. Malhotra has a question, saying that
for you. Of course. At best, we must practice vegetarian food. Vegetarianism, very essential. So, since my childhood, about I think 13 years old, all Tibetan government official festivals usually, you see, use a lot of meat. I try to sort of change all government festival food, vegetarian. Then, after I came to India, 1965, I also tried to become vegetarian. And then, next, about 20 months, I remained strict vegetarian. Then, you see some physical sort of difficulties, some sort of jaundice problem. Now, I'm not going to use detail. At that time, you see, the doctor, both Tibetan physician as well as the allopathic physician, you see, both advised me I should return the previous, diet.
Previous diet.
Oh, like that. So, however, in all our monastic institution, in India, mainly in Karnataka state, all common kitchen now serve only vegetarian food. And then also, you see some schools, also now, their common kitchen turned serving vegetarian food.
So we are, and then all our settlement, right from the beginning, fishery, piggery, poultry, right from the beginning, we don't accept. Some volunteer, the agencies, they feel poultry is quite hazoda, what's it, economically quite good, but we never accept these things. So we follow strictly, as much as possible, promotion of vegetarianism. So thank then, India, if may I say so, in the name of development, lot of poultry, North India, South India, I think chicken, I think suffer, really very serious. And then meantime, sometimes some illness happen. Then China and some different countries, you see, millions of them, you see, killed. Firstly, we produce. Then something happened, killing. I think too extreme. Then the fish in some area, the number of fish also now reduced because of overfishing. So, and then environment viewpoint, environmentally, also the beef farm, poultry, piggery, these are very bad for ecological sort of matter. So therefore, and also say health, I think in very cold climate, sometimes maybe it's a little different thing, but otherwise, it's the health also, the vegetarian is very good. So therefore, I think we must promote the vegetarianism. And then also, there are many sort of organizations in Europe, in America, and of course in India, the organization who really concerned about animal rights. So often, these people, these organizations, really very critical about extensively experiment on animal in the name of sort of what's the human health, medical field. One time, my visit on the invitation, Edinburgh, one university, say local animal rights group, they wrote me I should not accept invitation because that the university, you see, they extensively sort of use animal for kazoda experiment, like that. So this, I fully sort of agree, but then meantime, I myself, of course, usually vegetarian, when the non-vegetarian food available, occasionally accept non-vegetarian food. So that means I myself make contradiction, preaching or telling people promotion of vegetarianism. I myself principally remain non-vegetarian.
Thank you, Your Holiness. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of our discussion. I'd like to thank both His Holiness and Dada for sharing this time with us and these lovely thoughts that they shared with us and giving us so much to think about. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.